How's it going, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of our podcast. On this week's episode, we have our good friends, Becky and Chris.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
You gotta get closer to the mic, Becky.
Oh, sorry. Is this better?
I'm so excited because they're the first other couple we were featuring.
This is the first guest that we've had on the podcast. We are very excited. Real quick, why don't you introduce yourselves to everybody who might not know you already?
Okay, I'm Chris. This is an ASMR podcast, right?
That's literally what I did when we first did our
Hear my voice. Feel the tingles.
Is it giving you tingles?
Okay, you can explain who we are.
Okay, so we have a joint YouTube channel, Becky and Chris. I'm Chris, as you may be able to tell by my male voice.
Yeah, and I'm Becky, as you can probably tell by my less manly voice, but still slightly manly.
And we just make videos about things that we like to do. We're sort of the, we call ourselves the nicheless ones. We don't really have a niche. It's kind of just whatever we're into. So for me, I'm a helicopter pilot and an interventional radiologist. So those are things that I do. And Becky, what do you do?
I'm a photographer, graphic designer by trade, and I turn into the video dude. So I'm the one who does all of the YouTube videos. I run our social media. That was definitely a whistle. Social.
But to sum them up from our perspective, they're an amazing powerhouse couple, super interesting, fascinating people. We love watching their channel and we're stoked to have them on the show today. Lizzie.
Yes.
Why don't you tell the story about what happened today?
Okay. So, Becky had no idea that we would be doing this podcast this morning when she woke up.
I had no idea.
Becky and Chris just hit 100,000 subscribers on YouTube the other day.
Yay!
Super exciting.
Yay!
It's a huge milestone. Real quick, how long have you guys been doing YouTube for?
3 years. Since 2016, we've been doing YouTube. We've been posting videos weekly or 2 a week or sometimes 3 a week for like 3 years.
Oh my God, 3 a week. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And that was only for a short period of time. Usually it's 2 a week, but there was
not sustainable.
It was not.
And just to give some perspective on growth, how long did it take you guys to get to 10,000? And then how long did it take you to get from 10,000 to 100,000?
So this time last year, we were at 5,000. So it took
5,000.
Yeah, it was in April. We were celebrating 5,000. And then September of this year, we were at 10K. So it took us like 2.5 years to get to 10K, which is,
dang.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And then six months to get the rest of the 90.
Huge milestone, guys. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
When we talk about the tipping point, that's what it is.
So that is the reason why we are here. I think it's important to celebrate these milestones. I think 100K is a huge one for people who are creative and wanting to jump onto YouTube.
And it's not something necessarily that a lot of your friends will understand. It's like usually your YouTube crew that understands. And so we really wanted to make it feel special. And so we... Not only we called Becky.
Yeah, well, that
right
alone
before
was like
so that was really funny. And then today we decided that we decided
2 weeks ago
that we would come and surprise them because we did a 100K surprise party for Chris Howe.
This is so
about
confusing
a year
with
ago.
Two Chris's.
Yeah, two Chris's. So I'll have to say Chris Howe,
Chris H,
Chris H, and Chris N.
Chris Majestic Hair Howe.
Majestic Hair Howe. And we realized because of Chris N's schedule that we wouldn't be able to necessarily surprise him too. So
yeah, because he's a doctor.
He's a doctor and he's, you know, he's got to save those lives.
And we don't want to just be like popping in. He's like, I'm saving a life right now. And we're like, but
no,
100K.
You guys are so sneaky.
So Chris was in on it. It was so great. And we showed up today and Becky had no idea. We were like, surprise, we just want to spend the day with you and have fun and take advantage of the fact that you have a helicopter again. Go get some pancakes.
But I think one of the important parts about it is supporting the community that you are a part of. So Becky and Chris were a part of my 100K. That was a very emotional and amazing day for me, and you guys were a part of it. And I think, like anything, to return those favors, but it was special. We didn't just do that because, like, we really care about you guys, and it's such a big milestone, and we wanted to be a part of that with you.
Aww.
And just make sure that you felt special because
it's
3 years of hard work.
It's a big deal.
And it's freaking dope.
That's amazing.
Well, thanks.
Well, it's really nice to have you guys to celebrate with. Like, as you said, sometimes friends who aren't in the YouTube space don't really understand the milestones.
Yeah.
So to have like friends like you guys who like you care, you know, which is
and
really cool.
We know
it,
how much goes into it.
And I think it's important too to like support other creators and their milestones. And instead of, you know, I think sometimes there can be some jealousy a little bit, you know,
there is,
which is unfortunate, but I love being able to support you guys with your milestones and then you supporting us.
Like, no, 100%. It's amazing. That's what I love about YouTube. Like, there are some people out there who are jealous and are competitive, but I don't really understand that because everyone's doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much more fun to, like, have so the community room and support each other. It's kind of what I talked about in my, like, year on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, there's room video. There's room for everybody, and I think that's a really important thing to remember at the end of the day. And also that YouTube can be a bit of, like, a lonely space as a creator because you're spending so much time just creating on your own or editing, and to be able to share certain milestones or moments or collaboration to share that with other people who get it is awesome. So moving on to the whole aspect of this podcast, being a couple who are creative and do creative things. Lizzie, do you want to jump into our initial questions?
Well, I guess my first question is, what was it like to, because it's both of you guys who are working on this channel. I mean, now, because you're working full time, it's a little bit more Becky. But in the growth that it took to get here, what was it like working together on the channel and deciding what it was going to be like? And did you ever have, you know, conflicting views when you were deciding what you were going to, what your channel was going to be about? I guess you can go into that a bit.
Yeah, so originally we started our channel basically to, like, document us moving to Vancouver for 1 year. So Chris had to do his last year of training. So we moved, and we had a home renovation blog previous to that. And we finished our house, and we thought, well, we've been doing video and photography for so many years. Like, why not use those skills to, you know, document that year? And so Chris kind of, like, took over the research and finding the gear that we were going to use and all that stuff. And then we kind of both decided, like, we wanted to make a vlog, but we didn't know what that looked like. We'd never made videos like that before. We've done, like, all sorts of commercial stuff, but not YouTube videos.
Yeah.
So I don't think we've ever really, like, I think we've been on the same page pretty much for, like, most of the things. But I think starting off first, like, we used to film everything. And now we're like, oh, what is the idea? What is this video actually about? And we're more so working on storytelling. But I think Chris's priority is always work. So it was always, like, me kind of trying to, like, push the channel forward and figure out what the videos were going to be about.
Right.
Becky's been driving the ship. I kind of just hang along for the come along for the ride.
Fly along for the ride?
Yeah, I fly along for the ride. Very nice. She's kind of had she's been sort of the mastermind behind it all.
Mastermind.
Mastermind.
Even when we moved to Vancouver, she decided, you know, well, we don't have any renovation projects that we can work on, so let's just go on adventures and we'll make, you know, an online journal, if you will, I guess a vlog, and have that as documentation of our 1 year in Vancouver.
Yeah.
So that's how it all started. And sort of halfway through that, she's got the idea, you know, that, hey, we can actually make something out of this. People are following along, you know, slow and steady. And, but we need to do a better job putting purpose in our videos, because if you look at our first videos from when we moved to Vancouver, it was literally just taco montage after taco montage after taco montage. So it's really, you know, trying to find a story and trying to be purposeful with what you're trying to convey into your viewers. That's what she really stressed. And I came from a BMX video background. I was making, like, montages were all that I knew.
Yeah.
You know, let's put an awesome song down. We're going to cut a bunch of clips to it, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that doesn't really cut it in the YouTube realm anymore.
Yeah.
And that's kind of
For a while it did. And I kind of came from that background too, like skateboard videos and just, like, me wakeboarding into a really cool song. And then eventually you're like, wait, what is story? This is new.
And then travel videos too. Yeah. Like, that whole genre of travel vlogs is very saturated with pretty visuals to music with no real story. And that's fine if that's something that you're looking for. But it's tough to, a lot of times people want more out of the content now.
Yeah. Well, I think quality in general has gone up. One thing I took from just what you guys were talking about there is that your initial reasons for starting YouTube came from, like, a very pure place. And that you really didn't have, like, this idea of turning it into a business and this is what I want to do with my career. Mm-hmm. You really just wanted to document your lifestyle. How did going from, like, a pure place to now...
How do you feel about the content that you're making now?
Yeah.
Like, where is your sweet spot in terms of, you know, you want other people to be interested in watching your content, but you also want to be enjoying it. So what does that look like now, I guess?
I'm going to move this because I think
we're just getting
this,
comfy.
It's just like
getting comfy.
We try to keep it raw. That's like one of the big things about this, but nonetheless, just keep going.
Just for everyone. each couple is sharing a microphone right now, so we're all very cozy, nestled into each other. It's very cute.
Yeah my coat was there and I could hear it every time. I'm like, they're going to hear that. That's going to be annoying. Let's see. Do I remember the question? I got distracted by the coat.
No, that's fine. So is your content.
Talking about coming from Twitter space.
Right. Yeah. So like YouTube for us when we started was like basically a platform to host our memories. And then as Chris said, like as people were kind of coming in and subscribing and watching, it was like, oh, people like this. Mm-hmm. And I think it wasn't until like a year after it was like, okay, like the taco montages kind of need to slow down. We need to start like, there was some progress with like getting better color grading and more cinematic video. Like the first year was kind of like figuring out that. How do we make our videos look the way we want them to look?
Yeah.
And then eventually we're like, okay, this video is about nothing. So I guess like the whole progress was like always constantly trying to improve mm-hmm. what the videos were, what they look like, what they're about. And so mm-hmm. it was like, okay, now we kind of know what we're doing in terms of like filming. So now we need to like start working on storytelling. And obviously, you know, like watching your guys' videos or like Maddie, like you're picking up these tips from all these people and trying to improve your craft at the same time, keeping your original kind of
your style and your
spirit
goals.
And energy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so sometimes I think now where the channel has been growing pretty quickly, we're like, okay, what can we do that's value added for the people who are watching? And so we try to like teach at least one or two things like in most of our videos, but you know, I think I mentioned you guys earlier.
I think that's a bit of the secret for anybody who is listening and is interested in growing a channel. Value, providing value, whatever that looks like, is kind of like a secret, you know, hack to growing.
Yeah,
definitely.
The way I kind of envision our channel is not every video has to be a how-to.
Yeah.
But I want everyone to come away with something that they didn't know previously.
Yeah.
And whether it just be me randomly talking about crap about flying helicopters, it's like, oh, I didn't know that's why you were talking to ATC. That's because of this reason. So if someone can pull something, a little tidbit of information away, I think that that's a win.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it makes it more interesting, I think.
And at a certain point, you know, your audience cares about you and how, you know, the helicopter fits into your lifestyle and, you know, how that works and things like that as well. So it's a part of you guys and your brand.
Right. Yeah.
So at this spot right now, you guys are not monetizing your channel.
100K and not monetizing your channel.
Correct.
How does that feel?
It feels good, honestly, because I think that if we were monetizing and before we moved to the US, so the reason why we can't monetize is because I'm in the US, I'm on a visa, and I can't make money from anything else other than what my employer, you know, pays me. So for us, like, before we moved, we wanted to monetize. We had ads running. We were going to make, you know, t-shirts and all this stuff. And I think that coming down and having to remove all that stuff kind of like, it was a good kind of break. Like, you're not ready. Mm-hmm. You're not at the level where I shouldn't say that, but you're not ready to do that. Like, you don't have the audience and the platform yet for that to be successful. So it was almost like a really good break for us to be like, reevaluate what we were doing in terms of that stuff
kind
and like
removes,
what we
like,
wanted.
The clutter
of
thinking about the money side. And you're like, I should really just focus on, you know, making good content, enjoying what I'm making and growth.
Exactly. Yeah. It really allows you to focus on like making videos that you love versus like trying to, you know, make, I guess, money and then, you know, pay the bills or whatever, which is always good. Nothing
I also
wrong
think
with that.
For like an audience too, not having an agenda or like even a secret agenda kind of like appear in a video is a really cool space to be in because you can just focus on really just making great videos without having to like integrate a brand because you need to.
Well, and everyone now then believes like how genuine you are when you do recommend something or you do give a tip or, you know, you do talk about a program that you use to edit photos or something. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, well, I 100% believe you now because I know there's absolutely no way you could be making any money. But also, isn't that a little bit sad that like that if you're not monetizing, then you're telling the truth.
Yeah, it's also a bit of the state of social media. I think everyone expects everything to be kind of monetized and it is an advertisement now. Like, you have a lot of people who, when they swipe through Instagram, they're like, oh, everything almost kind of feels like an ad, when like that was like the place where there were no ads for a long time. So I think it's really cool right now that you guys are not monetizing it.
Yeah. Because there is that sour side that people have, I think, when you are monetizing you, or you do a sponsorship or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I don't know, it's always viewed in a negative light somehow.
Yeah. And I think too, like coming, well, we moved from Canada. I had a freelance, like I was doing freelance photography and graphic design for like 8 years. And there's a lot of like the business side of that, that I didn't love, like chasing money. Like you're always like, mm-hmm. did I invoice that person? Did they pay me yet? It's been 3 months. Where's my check? And like, there's a stress, and then obviously taxes and mm-hmm. your books and all of that stuff that nobody really thinks about when you think about monetizing. You think of, cool, I can make money from my making things that I love. But then there's that whole other side of managing people, getting paid properly, making sure you don't get screwed over. Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Running a business where what you guys are doing right now, which is really cool, is it's like you're just making art,
mm-hmm.
which is really the purest form of like being a creative, which is really awesome.
But you were mentioning earlier that you're intimidated a little bit. So when you come out and, you know, you do get your green card and you start monetizing these, you're like, oh my God, what do I do? Like, do you think it's going to change everything?
I'm not really sure. Like, it's such a, things have changed so much since we were able to monetize anything. Like, I guess the industry has changed, but also our numbers have changed. So I literally have no idea about anything. But at the same time, I think like now I'm almost a little bit afraid to monetize because I'm so used to not doing it.
And like, it's almost what your channel's kind of built off of.
Yeah. Sorry. And is it going to affect the way that you're thinking about your content? I guess
that's kind of what I'm worried about. And then also like introducing that stress that I had from running my business. Like, I don't want that stress to kind of ruin the fun and the outlet that is YouTube for us. Like, just making videos about whatever we want to make versus having to make a video about something because somebody's paying me to do it.
Mm-hmm. But you can do it on your own terms, though.
Yeah.
You know, you're selective with your contracts. You only choose things that fit and that would mesh well with the brand.
Yeah.
And I think as long as you sort of play to that initial, you know, that's being authentic, I think, like you were saying, is the most important thing to do.
So one of the things that, and I feel like you guys are in a similar space, is that we both have like additional income outside of what we're doing on YouTube or social media.
Right.
So having another place where you don't rely on social media to be your main income, I think gives you more flexibility with your brand. Just out of curiosity, in the future, where do you see it going once you do monetize, or what are the companies that you would love to work with, and what type of content do you guys want to start making in the future, or keep it the same?
Yeah, what's your plan?
Oh, so when are you putting this podcast out? Because we have like a fun little so we bought a house.
Woo.
Are we allowed to say that on this podcast?
When's the podcast coming out?
Probably like end of April. You guys.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We'll have that disclosed.
Okay.
Well,
yeah. So we want to get back to kind of like our original roots with like the home renovation stuff. Like obviously it's still going to be the same travel, like helicopter videos, tutorials, but we want to integrate more like home renovation stuff in. Mm-hmm. So
I loved watching that from your last house.
Thanks.
Yeah, I love that stuff. Well, especially, it was like right when we were getting our place too,
mm-hmm.
and I thought it was awesome because I'd never actually seen very much content like that.
Yeah.
I also think it's a great angle to have all these other passions outside of just like your business or what you know, like photography, design. Like, you guys have this interior design angle that no one else is really doing within this space that people know us. And I think that's awesome.
That's all Becky.
Well, that's definitely where my passion lies. Like, I've always been into like visuals, like obviously design, because I went to school for graphic design. But when I had my business, I had a lot of interior design clients where I shot their properties and just got inspired. I just love it. I just love home stuff. So if I could incorporate that, more of that, into the channel, you know, still maintaining, so it's not like sudden switch to home decor, but it's incorporating all of the things that we love into our channel. But I really want to do like a long format series where we kind of, maybe if it's like 30 minute episodes on YouTube, where it's not like an HGTV show in that kind of format. It's mm-hmm. more like, it's our style, the way we would do it, but mm-hmm. it's like start to finish a room and the process, and it's, you know, picking the tiles and, you know, the whole thing, the mood boards and then the finished product and that stuff. That's like the dream.
Yeah.
What's everyone's opinion on videos that are, you know, over the 10 minute mark? And like, you know, 30 minutes long.
Yeah, that's my also, I'm like,
I'm just curious because I don't see a lot of that.
Yeah.
And if I do, it's just someone who doesn't really understand how to edit or tell a story, and it's just too long for the sake of being too long.
Right.
But yours would be like a great 30 minutes.
Yeah, I think it would be more of like a TV kind of, almost like a Netflix type show. We'd probably release them within like a couple of weeks of each other, like, you know, 2 or 3 a week. And it's just something I always wanted to do. And I don't know if it works on YouTube or if it doesn't, but I'm willing to try it at this point because I just want to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have like two notes. One of them is a question. Another one's just like a point. But it really seems like your audience is interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
Where I feel like from what we gathered talking about coffee earlier, your most successful video is literally a sum of all your like biggest passions, almost minus the helicopter.
True. It is,
right?
Yeah.
Where so
Chris
it seems
is like I do not agree.
It seems
I do not agree.
It seems like it's evident that people are very interested in that content, mm-hmm. and they're craving it. So you know, do you see yourself swaying to more of that type of content moving forward? What has been some of your favorite pieces of content to make?
Yeah, I think the YouTube channel will always swing depending on what we're doing at that time. So for the last year, it's been helicopter stuff because Chris got his license. We moved, we bought a helicopter. So it's been very heli focused. Now with the house, it will probably be more so that there'll still be helicopter videos and stuff. I lost my thought.
Landing helicopters at the house.
Well, I think that's the interesting part about YouTube and the content we're making is we try to keep it as authentic we can. And in that we try to make it follow the way that our life is going and the things that we're doing in order to keep it. Like if we're like when we were moving in, like we just did the office tour.
Yep.
Like that's really what we were working mm-hmm. on. And it'll be the same thing with your house. So
right.
I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Do you ever find the content that you make gets in the way of your day to day or doesn't feel like it's ingrained? Or I don't know if that's how I want to say this, but do you ever find that when you're trying to shoot a video, does it ever kind of disrupt what your flow of your life is outside of YouTube and what you're doing?
Like you're swimming upstream.
I don't know. Sometimes I go through these like waves where I'm like, oh, I have to do this type of video, like say a tutorial, because we try to like do those once a week. Yep. Sometimes I just don't feel like doing it and I have to push myself to do it. And I'm like, should I be doing it if I don't feel like it? I don't know.
That's the question.
Yeah. So it's kind of like this weird, I don't know. How do you feel about
it? I just live my life and she
just operate on people.
You know?
Yeah. She
he comes home and he's like,
has all the content scheduled done. Says, oh, okay, we're filming this video. I'm like, great, sure. I view YouTube and making YouTube videos as strictly as a hobby.
Yeah.
Just because I come home mm-hmm. and that's what I do after work.
Yeah.
For Becky, it's a bit different because she's basically made her day job part time editing YouTube videos for us. So probably we both view it a little bit differently.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm just like, ooh, let's do it. Yeah, let's go make videos. And like if we go on a helicopter adventure, I'm thinking about, you know, planning the flight. I'm thinking about flying the helicopter. I'm thinking about, you know, inspecting the aircraft. So she's then again behind the camera trying to figure out, okay, what's the story? What's the shots we need?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll help out when I can. But it's a lot of it does fall on her to do that. And so I think we view it a little bit differently. So for me, it's just basically, I just do whatever I do normally.
Yeah.
And I kind of have, I think I have a better deal. I don't have to worry about everything.
This is a question, I guess, for Becky. Is it weird, like working a full day, like on your YouTube channel and then being like, and I made myself do all of this.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like you don't have anyone on your butt. You're just like, and you're not monetizing it. So you're just like, cool, I just did that all day.
Yeah.
And it was fun and I really enjoyed it and I think I did good work and like my numbers are good, but it's just, I guess, not a traditional job because there's no money.
Right. Yeah, it's really weird because like sometimes
it would be weird.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like stressed. I'm like, I got to get the video done.
Yeah,
I got to get it up.
That's how I am. And I'm assuming it's the same thing.
It's the same, but then it's like, why?
Yeah.
Like it's just a self-imposed
deadline. Like,
it's like a self-imposed deadline.
Yeah.
And I think cuz when we started, our second vlog took us 50 hours to edit and it took me like a month.
Yeah.
It was like, this is not sustainable. I need to be consistent on YouTube. So I'm going to make a video a week for 4 months. And I think telling myself to do that, and I did that for 4 months and I was like, oh, now it's a part of my week. Now it's normal.
Yeah.
It just stuck for 3 years. So now it's like so ingrained in my workflow.
Yeah. It's weird if you don't.
It's weird if I don't. And then sometimes I do find myself, like you said, stressing because I'm like, the channel is growing. We got to get a video up to continue the growth.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm not getting paid. And why am I stressing myself over it?
It's like the stress of it is so funny. Sorry, I'm going off on a tangent. But remember when I was here last time and I was stressing about a video that I had to post and it was a sponsored video actually. And mm-hmm. the client didn't get back to me.
Yes.
And then now ever since I posted it on a day that I don't normally post. And I was like, it's not going to do well. And I was all bummed about it because I thought it was a pretty good video. And then it actually has over 100,000 views now.
That's amazing.
And I have no idea how.
No reason to be stressed.
No.
It just
and
did.
I didn't need to be stressed. Mm-hmm. And I wish like someone went back and told me that. And I don't know whether, you know, the schedule even matters anymore.
Yeah.
And that was my thought. But I guess moving forward, you know, now that we can go back to the 100K milestone.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of the objective, I guess, when you're starting is 100,000. Mm-hmm. Like you 10K, you're like, cool. I just have to do this 10 more times and then I'm at 100K. Yeah. And then I get the play button. So now that you're at it, what is, you know, how does it feel? One. And two, is it, do you think it's more motivating to keep going now that you feel like you have like a solid base following? Mm-hmm. Or is it kind of like, oh, well, now what?
Yeah, it's kind of like a mixture of all of the things. Yeah. It's really weird because I was kind of in this like weird slump because it took so long for us to get to 10K. I was like, it's never going to happen. So that's fine. We'll just continue making videos because we want to make videos. And then it will slowly grow. 100K is probably out of the question. And then it happened. But it's funny because like leading up to that, I was kind of like, oh, like, I don't know if I really want to make videos. And then we had the shout out with Chris did a collab with Peter McKinnon. That video went up and our channel started growing really quickly. And so I had this like surge of motivation, like I got to put up two videos a week. And I think we had the discussion down, like about making,
you're like, you have to do it.
Just ride the wave, keep the momentum. Yeah. And so there was like a month or two of just like, yeah, I'm stoked. Like, let's put out the videos. And now it's like, we hit 100K and it's like, oh, okay. Like that happened kind of quick. And I'm motivated to keep doing it, but then also there's like this level of kind of coming down off of that high for 2 or 3 months of like heavy motivation, and now it's kind of like,
you got it.
And I'm like, oh, like what do we make videos about now? Because like, are people sick of seeing this type of stuff? And then I'm like, well, but then go back to the roots because it was all about the memories and documenting our life. So
I relate to that a lot. I think my first year on YouTube, and I think a lot of people who are creatives are like, I heard this when people are starting bands, the first year of like grinding to get to that point, whether it's 100,000, wherever that milestone is for that person, is always like the come up year is the most exciting and most memorable year. And sometimes I look back on those years thinking like how much more fun it was versus it just being like the day-to-day job that it is now.
Right.
And I like love making videos now, but a part of me is looking back on some of those like original pieces where maybe I didn't care as much about the technical, but I really loved the creative, or I really loved watching some of these vlogs that we used to make when 10 people would watch it.
Right.
So, you know, what for you, what were the things that you want to bring back into your videos moving forward?
Well, it's funny because we were watching one of our old vlogs, which was one of our favorites, is when we went to Tofino in BC. It was in our first year, you know, not a lot of story. The color grading could be improved, but it's like my favorite vlog just because it was such a good trip and we just had such a good time.
Yeah.
So, and then like watching some of the older stuff, it's like, oh, like there are things that we were doing back then that like, why aren't we doing those things now?
Yeah.
Like drone clips.
Because you would always get stressed out when I flew the drone.
True.
And you're like, no, we don't have to do that. It always takes us an hour to get somewhere because you want to stop the car, throw the drone up in the air, and then get the shots.
And then crash it twice. Yeah, no, I do miss them now. You know, it's like, it's strange. So there's like, sometimes the story is good, but then sometimes you just don't need like to be so regimented in like what that video, like now we need to tell this thing and then this thing, and this thing, like kind of go with the flow.
A bit more free flow.
Literally document it. And like,
it's a bit more relaxed, but it's always about the content at the end of it. Like you're always just trying to make the content better. It's so funny.
Right.
Even when you hit the 100,000 mark, you're just like, it can be better.
It could be better. Yeah, exactly.
The pendulum from wanting to tell a story is now kind of swinging back, and it's, you know, maybe a taco montage here and there isn't as bad as we thought it was.
Yeah.
You know,
no.
It's kind of the truth lies in the mean somewhere, sort of in the middle.
Yeah.
What are you finding now that's like inspiring you? And do you find that you get a lot of influence? Do you try to keep, like by not watching other type of content? So, and watching other types of content that is completely not relevant to your channel, like what inspires you and how do you bring new ideas into what you're doing?
Every single time I feel uninspired, I put on the show Departures and I watch shit out of that. And I'm like, literally one episode, I've watched the entire series probably like 3 or 4 times through. And every single time I put that show on, I'm like, let's go, like ready to make a video, like love that.
Yeah.
And so heavy influence, like when we started YouTube, that was one of the reasons. Like I had always wanted to document our trips. Departures was that, and it still is that for me.
Yeah.
And I do love watching like other documentaries like Tales by Light, some of the stuff that Joey Lawrence is putting out. Like I just love people shooting things and going out and just passionate about what they're doing. But then there's other people, like obviously we watch you guys all the time on YouTube, Peter, all like that whole, you know, all the people who are making similar content.
Yeah.
It's, there's a balance between watching it and then being too influenced and then making it too similar, but yeah. then yeah. also watching it and getting inspired and excited because they're killing it on your, you guys are killing it, or like that yeah. footage looks dope, or that story was incredible, or that track was amazing,
yeah,
and like, then you're fired up, right?
Yeah. yeah. Like for me, there's a fine line. Like sometimes I'll watch something in our genre that I get so inspired by.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time I'll watch something similar and it's so good that I just retreat into a hole and I suddenly start hating what I've done.
Yeah.
Does that happen
to you? All the time. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. yeah. We like, put on like,
can't watch Peter's videos sometimes.
Oh, I know. Right.
Yeah.
We put on a Sam Calder video the other day and I was like, no. Mother, am I allowed to swear on this podcast? Cause I was like,
I do.
What the Jesus? Like, why doesn't yeah. like that looks incredible. And I'm just like, fuck, I suck.
Yeah. And then I retreat into my, what I like to call garbage content. And then I feel better about myself, but I will have times where I actually like detox from all of the tech camera travel. Genre.
What do you do when you detox? Like, do you just,
I just don't watch it for a while.
Yeah.
And then I come up with my own ideas and, it's kind of nice.
That's but smart. Then, I think it's important to do that. Sometimes because you're like, oh, yeah. Is this too similar to that? Or like, yeah. you know, three or four of us kind of put out a similar video and you're like, maybe I should just like take a break from YouTube.
Yeah.
Just like watch something completely
yeah.
in a different niche or not yeah. watch anything at all and just wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're on the same train. Like a few times I'll be thinking about making a certain video and then like you guys will post it or yeah. someone else will post it. I'll be like, I'm watching too much.
Well, like literally you were like, oh, I'm doing this thing where I'm like waking up at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And I was like, I literally like the other day I was walking and I had this like idea to talk about why I don't wake up at 5 a.m. And I was like, oh my God.
Like, and I was going to make the video like 2 days after I thought I was going to make that video about doing like the swipe photo, like the mm-hmm. long, I don't know. I'm not remembering what it's called. And then you literally put it out like the next day or something.
So
I was like,
funny.
That's too weird. I'm like, I'm really glad I didn't start
on the same wavelength.
yeah. So just going back a few years, you guys owned a couple of different businesses together. Correct yeah. me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
You joked, Chris, you were kind of like doing an impression of Becky, kind of like bickering a little bit. We bicker in our business a lot. And
you're going to ask, do you bicker in your
no,
business?
No, but I just want to see.
We always bicker.
Yes. You know, do you sometimes find it hard to separate the relationship from the business? And then how do you guys each take a role in the business that you guys are working on?
Or maybe the ones you did in the past because yeah. you're a little separate now.
We've yeah. always had projects. And for me, I'm a little bit of an odd guy because my drive was always, okay, I'm going to get through my undergrad, then I'm going to med school, then you get through med school and a new residency, then residency fellowship, and now then as a job.
Yeah.
So for me, any side projects that we would do or side hustles would be a side hustle for me. So
yeah.
But it was always like a full-time thing for me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we would always collaborate. But I always viewed anything I was doing outside of my primary occupation
as
of
like
medicine.
Fun.
Yeah.
I viewed it as a hobby mm-hmm. just that just happened to be something that generated revenue.
Yeah.
And so with literally when I would be not studying or not at work, I'd be working on this hobby with my then girlfriend, now my wife. And that was just the life that I knew and I yeah. didn't know anything different. So, I mean, yeah, we bickered a little bit, but that was just kind of how we operated was mm-hmm. my hobby was doing these projects. I guess for you it'd be a bit different though, because it was your primary, source of income.
Do you remember back in the day when we had a marketing company, Chris was like, I'd go to the meetings and meet with the clients, but then Chris would never be involved. So if we ever had like a bad experience with a client, be like, don't make me call Chris. I don't want to get Chris involved. He's a silent partner. And Chris will come out of the wood and he's like really good at arguing on the internet. So I used to get him to do like nice. All of the bad stuff, but, or
sign,
like all of
the,
no, it's
Dr.
funny.
Nicholas
like we kind of have
email.
A similar thing.
Yeah.
Like Chris is really good with people in in-person meetings and on the phone. Like he can sell us really well because mm-hmm. he's so enthusiastic about it.
Right.
But then when someone needs to be the bearer of bad news and say, no, you're out of budget or something, then I'm like, hi, I'm Lizzie. So,
oh, so you're the one who's the bearer
so
of bad
he'll,
news.
He'll sell it. And then once we have the project, like I pretty much do a lot of the back end stuff.
Yeah.
Or it's a little bit joint, but then if there's bad news, it's 90% of the time it's me.
That's yeah. so funny. Yeah. That's like the opposite, but with, yeah.
Becky doesn't
yeah.
like conflict.
I don't. I really yeah, don't
Chris
like calling
like
people.
Yeah.
No,
I don't. It's really tough.
It is.
I grew up in a family that was very like anti-conflict. So mm-hmm. then I just like run away from conflict.
That's why you're
yeah.
so chill.
Yeah, it's very,
but
very
I'm like,
chill.
It's not conflict. We're just telling them, you know, the facts. Like
right.
they should know this information.
Yeah.
True.
Lizzie knows how to communicate in a way that doesn't seem so aggressive, and keeps the client happy. Whereas I would probably just like lose my shit on them because I just don't know how to communicate it in an effective way. So I think that's where like our partnership works really well. Cause there's a lot of like yin and yang where like my strengths, you know, complement her strengths. Mm-hmm. So just kind of going back a little bit there, Chris, have you found it to be a positive experience having like a full-time job and then only treating these things as like side and fun? And Becky, do you still find them fun, or do you find you go through waves of fun? I don't know if that's...
Or like if their relationships changed at all.
Sure. Like that. Let's go down that question. That seems like a better question.
Like now that you're spending a little more time, actually, I'm not sure when you were doing residency. Probably it's about the same, to be honest.
I'm busy in a different way.
So spending that time apart and no longer working together all the time, was that, you know, do you consider that better or worse for your relationship?
I think it's the same. It is different, but at the same time, we still are just as close as we've always been.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And nothing's changed for the worse. You know, our focus has changed from, you know, we had a screen printing studio back in 2011 was that?
2009
till 2011. And then we sold that, and you know, we've had all these little side projects.
We did like the whole home renovation thing, blog thing together.
Yeah. And people say that if you can get through a home renovation, then you can pretty much get through anything.
Yeah.
So we've for the most part been on the same page for the YouTube stuff. It's just I just view it as another project, and it's just with the same partner who I've always had by my side.
Yeah, I think we work pretty well together. I don't know what we would be doing if we didn't have these little things. Like, what would we do in the night? I don't know, we might just like watch TV. So it's fun to have the things to work on together that we can both kind of be creative, collaborate together, and then have something at the end of the day that we both built.
What's like coming home at the end of the day like? So Becky, like you've just been here all day and you're going to tell each other about your day.
Oh my God, it's so funny. Chris literally walks in through the door. I'm like, hey Chris, I haven't talked to anybody all day. Oh my God, I have all these ideas. Let me show you my Pinterest board. And he's like, don't talk showered to me.
That's a fantastic impression of yourself, by the way.
He walks in and just like face down on the couch, basically.
Becky, I'm physically and emotionally exhausted.
He said that to me once. You don't want to talk?
Yeah. He said that to me once in the elevator. I'm like, why don't you like have any ideas for the YouTube channel? He goes, Becky, I'm physically and mentally exhausted. I was like, oh, right. You have a full-time job that's not YouTube that you actually have to like think about not killing people.
Yeah.
So put on the clothes, go to the place, talk to the people, do the things.
Yeah. He comes home, he doesn't want to talk. And when he comes home, I'm like, I just want to talk.
Yeah.
So that's tough.
Yeah. I can 100% feel that. Because I think there was a period of time where I was working at a production company full time for about almost 2 years. Like I think it was like a year and a half-ish. And we were still very close, but I think it was a little challenging because like you would, I don't know, like when I wasn't working, I didn't want to do anything. Like it was so, again, like it was really draining for me, partly because my boss was really challenging.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to do anything when I came home. And I was like, this needs to be pure relaxation because it's so precious to me now.
Yeah.
And Chris would be like, but let's go shoot this thing, but let's go do this. I was like, I don't know, that sounds tiring. Like we have to go, you want me to get up at what time? You want me to do this whole other, like if it was a music video or something that would take up, you know, my free time. Yeah, it was kind of hard.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, one of the biggest things that I've really gathered from Lizzie is that I personally am someone who will let everything bleed into all types of the day. So it's like I will shoot a video at night. I'll shoot a video in the morning. I'll be creative whenever it feels like it's right. Whereas Lizzie's built a lot more structure into our days, and we try to structure relaxation, which I think has been a really good thing. When you guys are shooting YouTube videos, when is like YouTube time, when is relaxation time, when is just you time? Like, do you have a schedule? What does that look like?
It's kind of whenever we feel like it. I think what I've sort of done with my time is when I get home from work, if I just had a long day, we both will say, okay, you know what? Let's just hang out.
Yeah, I try not to put too much pressure on Chris, like during the weekdays to film anything.
That makes sense.
Unless like there is something coming up. Sorry, I cut you off, so continue.
No, that's basically what we were saying, and it kind of goes back to the whole thing where we're only doing it for us. There's no sponsor that we have to hit a deadline. So from that standpoint, just growing it in its purest sense, as you said, Chris, kind of makes it easy that we can then don't feel so bad. Like if I come home and it's like, we're just going to watch a movie tonight and hang out on the couch.
Yeah. Yeah, I think too, like with me, I'm able to kind of work on it during the day. So I do kind of like a 10 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. kind of grind on it. And then if he's tired and he wants to sleep, then I might continue to work or I might watch TV. But usually like the weekends, we'll go on an adventure and we'll document that. So it's still fun. We're not sitting down editing. We try not to edit during the weekend if we can. Like I don't want to be at the computer during the weekend.
Yeah.
But before when we had our business, like I was very strict 9 to 5. I didn't take emails, phone calls, anything after 5 or on the weekends.
Yeah.
I did nothing related to business in the evenings. Yeah. And, but now it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I like, I don't know. I think I expect a lot out of you sometimes and forget that you have a daily whatever. But,
I think we forget that too. I think, you know, Chris, from like a outside perspective, you are so a part of the channel so much of the time too.
That, it's all a lie.
Yeah. That you do forget that you are a doctor full time working those hours. And it's pretty crazy that you guys have the consistent energy all the time to be pumping out the content that you pump out right now, which is like 1 to 2 videos a week.
Yeah. Cause I was going to say, I'm very much the type of person who like, the reason I am like that is because it takes me so long to get into like a relaxation mode for me to be able to turn off thinking about work or thinking about YouTube or and that kind of thing, especially because our office is in our home.
Yes.
So it's more of a challenge for me, I think. And Chris will always want to talk about it. And it's hard for us to stop talking about YouTube and stop talking about work when we're having dinner or into the evening. So I try to be strict about that so that we, you know, give ourselves a break and give yourself that downtime to like feel refreshed to come back into it the next day and like want, you know, you feel ready for it and you don't feel drained.
Yeah, because you guys work together all day and then you're literally in the same office together. You're working on all the jobs together and then you literally walk out of your office door into the kitchen, make dinner together. And you're supposed to, so it's really, probably really difficult for you guys, right?
It's very difficult, especially when you're going through tougher, you know, work weeks or you have stressful clients. Like anything. Yeah, or you disagree on something. Like anything, when it's, you know, it feels like it's bleeding, you're like, I want to protect the wound, but we have to set these boundaries because, or our days just become like, we're always talking about work all the time. And then I feel like a couple years from now, I'll look back and be like, oh, all we just did was talk about work and make content and do these kind of things.
Right.
Cause sometimes we'll be sitting at the dinner table and we'll talk about it for so long, or we'll start doing something in the evening and then it's like 9:30 and we're like, oh, we have to go to bed now.
Right.
Like, we didn't stop.
And then we're just going to go to bed at 9:30 too?
Well, you start getting ready. So it really means, like, I do my half hour getting ready for bed routine and and Chris plays a video game and then we fall asleep to a Netflix show. Yep.
Yeah. So it's like a little bit of time apart. Like, it's kind of like that little break you get. Yeah.
I'm kind of, so we're kind of like approaching the end of the podcast at this point. I think if you guys had any recommendations for somebody who was in a relationship where one person is creative, they're pursuing their own thing, and someone has a full-time job, through your experience of either doing YouTube or running multiple businesses, what have you found that's worked really well for your relationship, and what would you recommend to other people who are trying to pursue that?
I think Becky does a really good job of, and she kind of alluded to it earlier, was picking up on, if I've had a rough day and I'm not in a headspace to do anything, she's just kind of like, why don't you just sit on the couch and I'll make you a tea? And that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And coming home to that is amazing. But if, you know, if it's a run of the mill day and everything's, you know, great, then it's okay, let's go make a YouTube video. And it's just feeling out and being very in tune with what your partner is feeling that day, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I think, picking up on the cues that that person probably had a hard day, long day, maybe they don't have the energy to put it into the YouTube channel. And I think when I realize, like, hey, Chris is mentally and physically exhausted and I have the time to do it, I will, all of it is on me. I'll do the social media, I'll do the editing, I'll do the audio, I'll come up with the ideas and put most of the pressure on me because I have time to do it. So I think just, like being considerate and aware that they do have like a full-time thing and that putting 100% of energy into that plus like YouTube on the side is exhausting and that just is going to lead to burnout.
Yeah.
So
I think in any relationship, in this scenario, but in any relationship, you really just need to be understanding of your partner. Even if you don't know what goes into their job or whatever is happening in their day, you just need to be, you know,
aware of their emotions and just like understand their life.
Yeah, communication is definitely
communication and just everything. Be their support system.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really great lesson to kind of end on. Guys, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Thanks for coming down and visiting us in Buffalo.
Thanks for coming and surprising and like calling us on 100K and like screen recording and just being like the best of friends.
I was so happy. Well, you can hear in it. Chris is like, yeah. I don't know, should we go eat some food now? I was like, I am not leaving the screen.
Hearing your guys bickering was so funny.
Oh, it was so funny. And I'm like, oh, I'm just eating macaroni and cheese with a bit of ketchup on it. And you're like, you have three people. And I'm like, oh, choking.
I think.
There's a pause and then what?
Yeah. I think one last little lesson to end on, which might not be completely related to what we were talking about on the creative side, but it didn't take that much effort for us to just
click,
you know, come click. Here and just record.
I was gonna say as friends, but
we'll click as friends. But I think, you know, if you are seeing other people who are in your space, all it took was a quick phone call, mm-hmm. a quick text. It's very little things that can brighten up people's day, and we are going to continue this energy into the evening, have a great dinner. And again, you know, a couple phone calls and an hour drive, really.
The best part of this
was worth seeing your smiles.
Aww. We really appreciate it.
The best part about this, like the YouTube community, is being able to support each other and having this network and making friends through it.
Agreed.
That's the best part, hands down. So you need to be there for, you know, your friends in this space, because you're just going to, you know, your relationships are going to be so strong. Like the people you're going to meet are going to be amazing. Your life is going to be so enriched because of it.
Yeah. That circles back to the original thing that you guys talked about before, is that people view others and can be jealous, but they view in like most things in life, there's certain types of people who view it as a zero sum game. Mm-hmm. And they think if this person's succeeding, then there's less success for me to have.
Right. Yeah. Which is not true.
Which is totally not true. And you get further by collaborating, you get further by just being a nice person and being genuine and celebrating your friends' milestones as well as your own.
Yep. And that's a great point to go and get some dinner.
Yes. Steak time.
A couple of creatives.
Awesome. If you guys are listening right now, please leave a little rating. Let us know what you think about the podcast. Leave a comment. All those things make a difference in helping us get noticed. And just we appreciate your time for the last 46 minutes.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Love you.
Bye. Bye.